It's Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. I'm not doing my typical opening. I'm doing what you call in the podcast biz a cold opening. I'm going right into the podcast itself, recognizing that it is September 11th, 18 years later on this day. I've decided to go back to T-Blog and read the September 11th, 2001 T-Pisode that I wrote back on September 13th, 2010. So this is 9 years old. I did my best at the time sitting down at the computer to recall what my 9/11 was that day in 2001. I still remember that day. I still remember everything after that, immediately what happened in the world. And I just don't want this to be a typical podcast. I wanted to share that T-Pisode, read it out loud. Before I get into that, we have to take a step back and obviously recognize everything that's happened in the world, the people that lost their lives on that day, and how much the world has changed. Where, you know, people earlier on, just how, you know, travel, the security now in the airports and going to different countries, how Americans are perceived. And I think now in the environment that we're in, where a president that isn't liked by a lot of people within his own country or other countries, and how everybody looks at the United States as more as conflict, a country that people want to have conflict with, a country that people have issues with, where we used to be perceived as a country, a power country, where we try to make peace with other countries. And if we didn't have that peace, we did, you know, to our own fault sometimes, force our will upon these other countries and, you know, come in and add some sort of democracy or some sort of government into these countries and help other people out, help other countries, whether they want that help or not. So there was a life before that, before 9/11, and then everything that came immediately after that. And then people, I don't think people forget, but after, you know, going to war and going to Iraq, taking down Saddam Hussein, going to Afghanistan, finding Osama bin Laden, and then obviously ISIS emerging and all these little mini terror attacks that it wasn't typical airplanes being driven into something like the World Trade Center. These countries were being attacked by ISIS. And they were taking credit for a lot of these things where they were just running cars over, stabbing people. There were so many bombings, and this world has changed. And our environment in this country and who we are as a people have changed. So it's a lot to take in, a lot to deal with. And I know, you know, we're still as the 18th anniversary. It doesn't matter if it was the first anniversary or it's going to be the 20th, 25th anniversary. 9/11 was something that, and I'll get into the podcast, a lot like John F. Kennedy's assassination was to my mother and father's generation, the baby boomers. And we remember everything that day, and I think it's something we're going to continue to have. And I think that some millennials, obviously were very little at that time, will probably know something from what their parents or older siblings share with them. But the Gen Zers and beyond are only going to read about that being documented in social media or any form of history books, if there are books in the future, how we actually convey our history somewhere down the line. That's how they're going to know about it. But for those of us that lived through it and how it happened, here is my day, and I'm reading it straight from T-Blog. It's actually T-Episode 40. I was probably a year into T-Blog at that point. So like I said, I wrote it on Monday, September 13th, 2010, and it's T-Episode 40, September 11th, 2001 is simply the title. Some say what I was doing on 9/11, 2001 will be my generation's equivalent to my parents' generation of John F. Kennedy's assassination and what Pearl Harbor was to the generation before that. You remember everything about that day in detail. I got off the train at Boston's Arlington Street T-stop in Back Bay. I was heading to work. This was my first real job out of college, a fancy white-collar job for an asset management company. I walked up the stairs to Boylston Street and looked up at a beautiful sky. The weather was awesome. My city of Boston looked and felt calm for a September Tuesday. I strutted in, said good morning to my security guard buddy Edison, and took the elevator up to my cubicle and sat in my chair. A chair I've only been sitting in for a few weeks at the time. The job was new. The whole going into the city for a job was new. It was awesome new. I signed on to my computer, checked some email, both work and personal, then immediately went online to check my everyday sites. There was no Facebook or Twitter back then. There wasn't even MySpace or blogs, really. I checked Boston.com, ESPN, and MSN. A habit. Had to do it before I could really start my day. I got up to fill my water bottle and say what's up to the work people I was just getting to know. I could hear my phone ringing. I knew it was my cousin. He called me at every college job I ever had every morning while he was still in college. I went back to my cube and picked it up. What up? You get fired yet? He said. Not yet, I said. Then I heard somebody say a plane crashed into the World Trade Center. I asked my cousin, did you hear about a plane crashing into the World Trade Center? He said, no, it's probably some dope who crashed his little puddle jumper crop dusting shit plane or something. Probably, I said. I went online and saw breaking news flash across MSN and other sites. They only said that a plane crashed into the World Trade Center. There wasn't a flood of Facebook updates, no tweets, and text messages cost most of us 40 cents back then, so texts were few and far between. What did happen at that moment was a lot of people at work made phone calls from other cities and companies to a lot of other people at work, fast. People started talking. You could hear the talk sitting in your cube. Somebody said it was a passenger plane out of Logan, I said to my cousin. What? Let me put on the radio, he said. Okay, I'm going to check this out. I'll talk to you in a bit. The office started to buzz. The first time I heard a terrorist attack came very early that morning. My boss came by and told me everybody was going downstairs to watch the news. Like any financial company, we had dozens of TVs for the latest financial information and stock updates. I got up and went downstairs. Everybody was downstairs. My first reaction to those helicopter shots was thinking it looked like a Michael Bay movie. The panoramic shots of New York skyline. The smoke coming out of the tower, the people gathering, the quick shots to news reporters, the emergency rescue crews pulling up, but this wasn't a movie. The office phones kept ringing, people yelling out things like, terrorists had taken over all our airplanes. It has to be Saddam. They're evacuating all buildings in Boston, in every city. Then the second plane hit. A giant fireball shot out of the building. People were jumping out of the windows. We were watching it happen live. This was one of the realest and scariest things I had ever seen and shared with a bunch of strangers. We all watched as Tower One fell. The smoke and the breeze covered New York City. People around me were crying. More phones were ringing. Cell phones stopped working from all the calls being placed. Then Tower 2 fell. I did what everybody was doing. I went back to my cube to call the people closest to me. Before I could pick it up, my phone rang. What are you still doing there? Get out. Boston's being evacuated, my cousin said. Really? I said. My mother called me from work. I called my sister. Friends were calling me. They were panicking because I worked in downtown in a skyscraper. The building only had 14 floors, and I was on the 6th floor, but that was enough for them. And I was only a block from the Prudential Building and Hancock Tower, Boston's tallest and most famous buildings. At that time, we all thought the world was ending. No bullshit. The world was ending. We didn't know what was going to happen next. The army just shot down a plane over the White House, somebody screamed. What? The president of our company went around to everyone and told each of us to go home. I had to take the train home. People were afraid to take the train. I could have taken a cab, but the young, angry badass in me, for some dumb reason, said, take the train and snap somebody's neck that looks like a terrorist. Seriously, it was stupid and pretty much ignorant. But that time, in the days and weeks and months after that day, a lot of people started to racial profile. It was sad, but it became common. That's how the lust for revenge caused the war we were later get into. No direction, just anger. I got on the train. People were crying and talking crazy. We were all scared. I got to my car, put the radio on. I just listened. It wasn't even really real factual news at that time. Just opinions, gossip, anger, and fear. Mostly fear. For some reason, I drove through East Boston, the city I grew up in. The city where the terrorists got on the planes. There wasn't a plane in the sky. They were ordered down. It was very eerie not hearing or seeing any airplanes for the first time in my life. I grew up with planes rumbling over my third floor apartment 100 times a day for almost 21 years. I drove home. I lived downstairs in my sister's house then. I went upstairs and watched TV with my sister and nieces. We watched as people tried to rescue the fallen. For days and weeks they would try. We would watch. That's all we can do. My cousin came and got me that night. We just drove around, quiet. We drove by Revere Beach and saw hundreds of candles on the wall for the fallen. It was quiet everywhere. Everybody and everything was quiet those first few days. No planes, no work, no sports, no stock market, no entertainment, no fun, no hope. Just being with your loved ones and a lot of quiet and loss. It seemed like the world had just stopped. And when it finally started back up again, it had changed. Until next time, always take it there.